If you'll take your Bibles, please, and in our remaining minutes together, we'll turn to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1. I just want to share with you some thoughts about the other purposes of the Incarnation, and specifically tonight, looking at the fact that the Incarnation of Jesus Christ was a revelation of the Father to man. We've talked about in detail the last few services on the fact that the Incarnation of Jesus Christ is a revelation of God's love toward us. We looked at the names. We looked at Jesus, whose name means Savior, Deliverer. And he was to be named Jesus. Joseph was to name him, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that obviously is one of the great purposes of the Incarnation, but it's not the only purpose. First of all, we need to know more about the Father, and Jesus Christ reveals the Father to us. Look at verse 17 and 18 of John chapter 1. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to open your word tonight. We thank you for the special time of prayer that we had. And we do ask that you would undertake for the needs that were brought before thee tonight. Lord, there are many pressing needs. We think of the Christmas program tomorrow night. We pray, dear Lord, that the message of the gospel would be clear, that you'd give health to all of our children and those that are in the play and to our teachers. And we pray, Father, that this would be a time of great glory unto your precious name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We realize from this particular statement, and by the way, these two verses here are the concluding statements of the introduction of the Gospel of John, telling about the Word made flesh dwelling among us, that Jesus Christ is the revelation of God to us as sinners, and that through grace and truth we can know the Father. Because sin has separated us from the Father, we don't know the Father. We've never seen the Father. But through Jesus Christ, we can know the Father, we can experience the love of the Father, and the Father's love can be worked out in our hearts and lives through Jesus Christ and His righteousness. The phrase rendered that we have here in verse 18, which is in the bosom of the Father, literally means the one being in. And it describes a timeless state, an eternal condition, and relation of the fullest intimacy, love, and fellowship. And it implies the unbroken continuation of it in the days of His flesh, speaking of Jesus Christ. In other words, John is making very clear that Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem. All right? This passage of Scripture speaks to the eternally preexistent sonship of Jesus Christ, that He came as deity and He took upon Himself humanity. He did not begin in Bethlehem. His humanity began in Bethlehem. And that's so important for us to understand, because God alone could act in our behalf. But He had to become man. He had to be made human and be tempted on all points as we are, yet without what? Yet without sin. And in His person, in His humanity, He revealed to us God the Father, the one we did not know. On Christmas evening, when Jesus Christ was born in that manger in Bethlehem, God revealed Himself to us and for the very first time allowed us to see Him as He really is. Now, not in the physical form. I've never seen Jesus, have you? But I know the Father. You know why I know the Father? Because I know Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual understanding that we must have, that Jesus Christ revealed to mankind who the Father is. The devil had planted his lies in the garden about the Father, had he not? Father doesn't love you. The Father's trying to keep something back from you. What's wrong with eating of the tree of the knowledge of good? You know what He was doing? He was attacking the credibility and the integrity of the Father. And Satan's lie had stood all through those centuries until God sent forth His Son to reveal the nature of the Father. You see, in Genesis 3, in verse 15, we were told that God was going to send His answer to the sin. Speaking of the serpent, it shall bruise his heel. But what was the heel going to do to the head of the serpent? It was going to crush it. And so this was going to be the unfolding of God's revelation of Himself through His Son, and that the lie of the devil would not stand any longer about the Father. It's so important for us to see this. No man has seen God at any time. God is spirit. If we're going to worship Him, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But there is a man in the glory. And that man in the glory is Jesus Christ, and He reveals to us the Father. I was reading not too long ago about a European cathedral whose ceiling is adorned with a painting of an artist's conception of who God is. The only problem is that the cathedral is extremely narrow, and the ceiling is very tall, and people complain for years, it's hard for us to sit here and crane our necks up to be able to see the portrait that's up above. And so some ingenious soul there in the church bought a mirror and put the mirror down on the region of the floor, and the people would come and stand in front of the mirror and they could see the painting of God the Father on the scene. I said, what a wonderful illustration. For Jesus Christ is the mirror of the Father. We would never know the Father except for the fact that the Father acted in our behalf and sent His Son. Our connection to God the Father, folks, is in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. I want to kind of unfold some scriptures that point this fact out. In Hebrews chapter 1, you don't need to turn there, just listen. Jesus Christ is called there the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of His person. That's Jesus Christ. He is the brightness of the Father's glory, and He is the express image of His person. Colossians 1 and verse 15 calls the Christ child the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, did you get that? The image of the invisible God. We see Jesus Christ, and we see all of the traits and qualities and glories of the Father in His Son. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9 says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. And what's that next word that follows? Bodily. He envelops all the fullness of the Godhead, but He does so in a human body. How can this be? This is the glory of the incarnation. John 5 records the healing of the impotent man. Turn over there, please, because I want to spend the rest of our time there. In John chapter 5, the account is given to us of the impotent man who was at the pool of Bethesda. And there the Lord heals him on the Sabbath day. And the hounds of hell were let loose on Jesus that day. Boy, they criticized Him for healing on the Sabbath day. How dare you heal on the Sabbath day? Isn't that how religion is? You know, here's Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, the Son of Man, the Son of God. He chooses to heal on the Sabbath day, and they go ballistic, criticizing Him. And then Christ answers them with something that makes them even more angry. Verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay Him because He had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh here too, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said what? Also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God. And in chapter 5, we have an unfolding here of this purpose of revealing the Father. That in Jesus Christ, we see the image of the Father. And I want to just kind of share these things. There's six of these in this particular passage of Scripture. We're just going to kind of tick these off as just a clarification of the incarnation of Jesus Christ and what He revealed of the Father to us. First of all, I want you to see that Jesus' incarnation reveals the Father's unity with the Son. Look at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. In other words, the Father and the Son are in perfect harmony. Everything that Jesus did upon this earth was in complete harmony with the will and program of God the Father. Jesus never acted on His own. He always acted in lockstep with the Father's will. That's perfect harmony. That's perfect unity that we find. Jesus Christ incarnate displays the Father and their unity of purpose. Notice secondly in verse 20 that Jesus' incarnation reveals the Father's love. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The Father loveth the Son. And the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that He gave, what? His only begotten Son. So in Christ Jesus, incarnate, is expressed the love of the Father to us. As I said on Sunday, God did not send a surrogate. He sent His only begotten Son. That's love. That is love that cannot be expressed in any other way, shape, or form. The incarnation of Jesus reveals the Father's love. Thirdly, Jesus' incarnation reveals the Father's purposes. Look at verses 22 through 23 and then verse 29. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raise up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him. Now we need to understand that it's not possible to honor the Father and dishonor the Son. Now there's a lot of religious nuts out there today that look at God as some kind of this grandfatherly figure that just kind of looks over heaven and says, you just do what you please. If you want to cuss, go ahead and cuss. Like Mark Driscoll, the cussing pastor, he has built his whole ministry with his foul mouth and his sexual talk that he talks about all the time in his church services. Okay? And he says, it's all right because the Father loves me. What is he doing? He's dishonoring the name of Jesus Christ. He therefore cannot bring honor to the Father. You can't go against God's Word and bring honor to the Father. It's so important for us to understand. The incarnation of Christ reveals the Father's purposes. Look over at verse 29. And shall come forth that they have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now God is expressing His purposes, that one day there's going to be a judgment, and His Son is going to be the one that is the judge. And He does so, His judgments are from the Father's mind and heart. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to carry out the Father's purposes. When we have the judgment seat of Christ, when we stand before Him, which by the way is a judgment for rewards. It is not a judgment of sin, but rather a judgment for rewards. The Father will be pleased with all of Christ's judgments because Jesus Christ will be carrying out the mind of the Father in perfect harmony, carrying out that program. Then it gives the resurrection of damnation, those who will be raised up in the last day to stand at the great white throne judgment. Jesus Christ will sit there at that throne and He will exercise judgment in perfect harmony with the Father. Jesus Christ's incarnation revealed the purposes of God so that we might know. Fourthly, I want you to see that Jesus' incarnation reveals the Father's Word, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You know what the basis of your salvation is tonight? It's not based on how you feel. Dr. Hobbs used to say that, you know, you better not be trusting in your salvation on how you feel. Because some of us don't feel very good sometimes. You get up in the morning and you don't feel good. You don't feel, as Dr. Hobbs used to say, you don't feel saved. Right? You might know what I'm talking about. You just don't feel saved. I got home tonight and I went and sat in my chair in my bedroom and I was out just like that. I just fell asleep. I just wore out from the day and I fell asleep and I woke up in a panic and I said, I got to get to church. And I had to come up here a little bit early. I went rushing up here, you know. And there's times where you don't feel saved. But thank God our salvation is not based on how we feel. It's based on the eternal Word of God, which is objective. Those who have called upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. And our salvation is more than just our immediate conversion, and that is certainly what we must have. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm looking forward to the day when our redemption is complete. And we get that new body, and we stand in His presence, and we enjoy the wonders and glories of heaven. Well, how do I know that? How do I know I'm going to get a new body? How do I know I'm going to be in heaven? How do I know that we're going to have streets of gold to walk on? And how do I know about the new Jerusalem? And all? It's all related, folks, to this book right here, His eternal Word. How do I have assurance of salvation? Well, it's not based on my feelings. It's based upon the sure Word of God. Fifthly, I want you to see that Jesus' incarnation reveals the Father's life-giving power. We saw that in verse 24. Passed from death unto life. Who's the only one that can do that? Only the Lord can. You know, over the years, I've had to put a lot of animals down that we've had for one reason or another. I remember my dad one time called and said, would you take our dog down? And so I said, I'd be glad to do that. We're going to have to put her down because she was not doing well. And I remember taking that dog down and the lady asking me some questions. She said, why are you putting the dog down? I said, well, the dog has got some serious issues and he's hurting. We got to put him down. And she said, well, isn't there anything that we can do? And I said, well, maybe thousands of dollars, but this dog is quite old and we need to put it down. And I remember, you know, saying, let's get it done. I don't want to drag this thing out. And, you know, I couldn't help but think as that dog lay there dead now after having that injection given to them, that dog is forever dead. Bones are buried out in the ground. I can take you to the spot in our yard where our dog is buried that we grew up with, Pebbles. And that dog will forever be there. There's no resurrection for the animals. But folks, there is a resurrection unto life and there's a resurrection unto death. Which resurrection are you going to be at? Jesus was revealed that you might have resurrection unto life if you receive His free gift of righteousness. Now, that's what it boils down to. If you refuse Christ, you refuse righteousness. You refuse life. And all you will have is the resurrection unto death. You see, the Father has life-giving power, and it was administered through His Son. Notice verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of whom? The Son of God. And they that hear shall what? Live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself, and hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. And that brings us to the last point that I want to give you tonight. And that is Jesus Christ's incarnation reveals the Father's authority in the Son. The Father's authority in the Son. Do you know what holds the atoms together right now? The authority of God, His spoken Word. When He spoke, a sun appeared in the heavens, and all the other suns, all the stars that are out there. You know, this is a beautiful time of the year. How many of you have seen Jupiter? Okay, Jupiter's in the sky. You can see it now, just a beautiful bright light in the sky. Regulus right beside that. Also, we've been seeing the, I guess they're called the Gemini comet spray, the shooting stars at this time of the year. And if you want to go get up at midnight and go out and look at them, it's kind of cloudy tonight, probably won't be able to see them. But Monday night was the night that you were supposed to be able to see them the best. And you know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And those stars move in their courses because God commanded them to do that. And every comet that makes its round, and everything is mathematical in space and on this earth. It works exactly. They can predict. We can go right now, and you can go, I think it's called starrysky.com, and you can go in there and you can ask to see what the heavens look like on the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and they can recreate that because it's mathematical. They know exactly where everything was because they're always in the right place every time. How is that? The authority of God. What holds our bodies together and keeps them from just falling all to pieces? Now you say, well, my body's falling all to pieces. No, I'm talking about, you know, that keeps us from just collapsing and turning into jelly. Well, and some of us are almost in the jelly state now, you know, flab and everything else as we get older. But it's the authority of God's Word. It's the authority of God's Word. Now notice, please. And hath given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Now this is in juxtaposition to what He said in verse 25, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Now it says down here in verse 24, and He given authority to execute judgment because He is the Son of Man. Both His humanity and deity in the exercise of the authority that the Father has given Him to conduct the business of this earth and the future judgments that are going to come. Folks, I want to tell you something. The incarnation of Jesus Christ is not only a revelation of God's salvation plan, but it's also a revelation of the Father. We know the Father because we know the Son. And the devil's lie for all those centuries before that God is unjust and God... You know, isn't it interesting that so many people have said that about the God of the Old Testament? What was that, Bishop Gerald Kennedy that said that God was a dirty bully? And there are modern theologians today that said they're so thankful for the New Testament. If there was only an Old Testament, they would never believe, because they think God was so cruel. But they can't say that about God. Can't say that about God in the Old Testament. And you can't say it about the New Testament, because God revealed Himself through His Son, and in love He sent His Son that we might have forgiveness of sin. And so we thank the Lord for the coming of our Savior. Grace and truth came by Him. And He declares to us the wonderful glories of the Father. Those six things that we shared from John chapter 5 are all revealed in Jesus Christ the Son. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we were able to meet together tonight. We thank You for bringing Your people together, Lord, so that we could bring our requests before Thee, so that we can pray intently throughout the remainder of this week for special needs. We also pray, dear Father, that You would allow Your Word to sink into our hearts. Lord, at this Christmas time, where we're so tempted to think only of ourselves, only about our pleasure, only about our fun, only about our receiving of gifts, that will cloud and destroy any thought of the giving of Your Son. Lord, we pray that we would not allow the curtain of the culture to block out the glorious, wonderful rays of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, may He shine in our hearts at this Christmas time. And Lord, as He shines, He reveals You to our hearts. We're so thankful that You loved us, Father, and that You sent Your only begotten Son. And we pray that the message that we've shared tonight would echo in our hearts in the coming days. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.